You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. I'm Kristen. I'm here with my co-host Liza and our guest Lance Robertson. We've been talking about some of the specific goals that the RAISE Family Caregiver Act has put before Congress as a way to deal with our family caregiver crisis. Right before the break, we were talking about how one of the things that is important for family caregivers is to protect their financial well-being, and that can be challenging. And you mentioned that one of the possibilities for solution is getting some support through the government and the tax code and, you know, Social Security and that kind of thing. But that's going to take a long time because that's going to involve a lot of key partners and a lot of dialogue. What you ended with, though, is this idea that this isn't just going to be something that the government can fix, right? We also need employers to understand how to support people that they value as their employees, but who are getting, you know, pulled in a lot of different directions. So Lance, do you have anything that's come to mind from your experience or different things you've heard about techniques that employers should keep in mind when they're dealing with somebody who is a family caregiver?
Yeah, there are a few shining practices out there, and I will say MetLife has been a champion of supporting caregivers in the workplace. That's a good resource for people to go to. But if you think about the value proposition and the return on investment, if you're a company, you have a great employee like Kristen, and you don't want to lose her. You don't want to lose her, but you know that she's experiencing a challenging caregiving situation for the immediate future. How do you manage that? Well, I mean, there are lots of great ideas, and there's really no limit to the number of things companies could do. It's just a matter of where does that fall on their list of priorities, and are they willing to invest? Sure. So a great example, I think probably the most prominent example is, you know, could you create a paid leave system for caregivers at your company so that rather than have to take sick leave or vacation leave for caregiving responsibilities, you actually have a designated code that means I'm being a family caregiver today and I need today off. Mm-hmm. Because what happens, of course, is that caregivers have to burn all of that vacation and sick leave. And then when it's time to take a vacation, they have no leave.
Yep.
And they have to use all that leave to be a caregiver.
Right.
I think another profoundly opportunistic thing to look at would be, you know, something like at your corporation, a respite pool where you actually could say, okay, you know, would there be a group of us willing to help out Kristen in her situation? Maybe it's not direct care, but maybe I go and mow her lawn. So right. That's one less thing Kristen has to do. Maybe I go get her groceries for her. Maybe there's a way to support her that saves her time, reduces her stress, and actually contributes to the overall situation. It doesn't mean that, you know, I go into the home and I actually do transferring or bathing or anything that really needs to be left up to Kristen. But there are lots of things that you're having to also manage that, you know, fellow employees could actually contribute with if there was a structure, a system in place.
Yeah,
you know, that's sort of like when people sign up to bring meals to somebody that's just lost a loved one. Well, again, why do we wait until something that significant and life altering happens before we lean in?
Yeah. And I can't let this pass by without pointing out that I work for the Madison School District. And one of the first times I had a family caregiving crisis and had to take, I'm fortunate to be able to take time off like you described, but it did go from my sick leave. The social worker at the school understood what was going on. And she just informally created exactly what you talked about. And people showed up and took care of some of my household needs in terms of like fixing some stuff that hadn't been fixed and carrying things and mowing the lawn. And it brought me to tears because I didn't ask for it, and it showed, and they showed up, they took care of it, and they just went on their merry way and said, this is what we do for one another. So I think you're right. We could put those kind of things formally and even informally, just teach HR people how beneficial that could be.
Well, and think about it, Kristen, if you were the CEO of a company, what sort of differentiator could you put out there that would be stronger than saying we're a caregiver friendly company? Yeah. Because everybody's facing these elder care needs and nobody yet is really addressing it and advertising that. Then all of a sudden, if you're trying to recruit the best and brightest, and we all know there's a workforce issue across all conversations,
exactly.
A big differentiator could be, you know what, I'm going to go to your company because I know when I have care needs for my aging mother, you're going to be there for them.
Yeah, exactly. Excellent point.
Yeah, that is so huge. And especially if 1 in 5 Americans are a caregiver at some point, you know, you have the ability to like you said, draw in the best and brightest to your corporation if that's something that you can offer. And again, it sounds like an easy fix. Some of these just sound like, why aren't we doing this already? I mean, to shift gears a little bit, at the end of every show, we like to ask what we call as the powerful questions that kind of force you to go inward and reflect on some of your personal experiences. And the first one that we have for you, Lance, is what drew you into this line of work?
Well, I was raised by my grandparents, and I had an affinity early on to really try to contribute and make a difference. So I've been a public sector guy for 25 of my 26 working years, and all of that was directed at, again, being able to contribute to the greater good where I could.
Excellent. Well, and it's interesting that you brought that up, because as we were doing a deep dive into your resume, we were recognizing that you've been mostly in the public sector. And now, is the current position you're in the private sector?
Correct.
Okay. And so how do you think we can get public and private to talk together and work together? Because this is a crisis that goes across all divisions of every kind in this country.
Yeah, and I would say, broadly speaking, to the conversation we had a little bit ago, there's just a ripe opportunity within the general employer market for us to be more caregiver-centric. And I think, again, those ideas aren't tremendously complex or costly. Companies just have to make it a priority. So I think the private sector side, at any point, should be ready to really step up and take on that role as a champion. The good news in the work I do now, even though it's private sector, we help mostly public sector organizations, and we get to drive a lot of different policy and key program opportunities that I have found continue to help caregivers, which has been so rewarding for me. So even though I'm on the private sector side, I get to really influence some things, I think, very positively for Americans.
Excellent.
And what is one message that you would like to give to all caregivers?
Well, I think, like we discussed earlier in the show, it is absolutely about caring for yourself, putting together a manageable plan, and making sure that from the beginning, you address your own needs as well. And that could be, of course, physically, but personally and professionally, and just making sure that this particular family situation doesn't divert you from what you know to be important. And then certainly to make sure that your health is maintained throughout it all. It's tough because it seems selfish to try to focus on that, but it's a necessity for the overall effort.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And real quickly, Lance, what do you want your legacy to be?
Just to continue to help family caregivers and to continue that work over the last 2.5 decades.
That's excellent. Thank you for everything you've done in this field and for giving us your time. You've got to be a fairly busy man, so we really appreciate it. We were first connected to you through Denise Brown, the founder of the Caregiving Years Training Academy. We're going to be working with her at our own virtual town hall later this month. Do you know much about these virtual town halls?
I do.
All right, great. And we're excited to have ours, and we hope that you help us promote it. It's going to be Saturday, May 21st, and it'll be from 9 to 10 a.m.
Thank you, Lance.
It's been a real treat.
It has.
Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week.